Welcome to Homily Studio for the 19th Sunday of Ordinary Time in the A cycle of readings. With me are Chris Duthie-Young and Jelveen Cortez. I'm Father Merv Duffy, Dean at Te Kupinga Theological College in Auckland, hosting Homily Studio while Father John O'Connor is out of the country. We were going to be joined by Rosalie Connors, but she's down with COVID. But if my two co-presenters introduce themselves.
I'm Chris Duthie-Young, Director of Church Mission here in Wellington. We were just discussing children before we went on air here, and so I'll declare mine today. I've got a 21, a 23, and a 26-year-old who tend to keep me honest, as well as my wife, Veronica.
Thank you.
Kia ora, I'm Jelveen Cortez. I am the Marketing and Communications Manager at Te Kupinga Catholic Leadership Institute. I am based in Auckland. And like Chris, I have two children, a 24-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old son.
And do they keep you honest?
Most of the time.
Okay, to begin, let's pray the collect for the 19th Sunday. Let's pray. Almighty, ever-living God, whom, taught by the Holy Spirit, we dare to call our Father, bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, to get us started, give me a one-sentence statement of the theme of the readings for this Sunday.
For me, it's about Jesus meeting us where we are, whether we are in water or, you know, like in the first reading where Elijah was in a cave. So I guess we need to recognize that still whispering voice of God or the outstretched hand, and he will meet us where we are.
Thank you.
Yeah, and for me, it's just as simply as, though we may look in the big storms of life, which seem to be always upon us, it seems to be that it's in the quietness amid that somehow that we actually meet Jesus.
Thank you. For me, it was recognizing the Lord, similar to Jelveen, the prophet in the cave, deciding which of the manifestations outside was the Lord, and Peter deciding, is it a ghost or do I trust it to be Jesus? And then recognizing the Lord responding. So, storms of life, pick this up, Chris. Tell us what's...
Well, I love the way these two, the first reading and from it scrolls back frantically, from Kings, is placed here with this gospel. These two amazing stories of the expectation in the first one, that that it would be in the big things, the loudness, the crashing and the carrying on outside the cave, that Elijah would actually meet the Lord. But as we know so well now, having heard that reading, it wasn't. It was a tiny whispering sound. I mean, you couldn't make it more clear how light, how small that is. And yet in that, what must have been a much more peaceful sound, that is where Elijah recognized the Lord was present and hid his face and went out. And then picking up again in the gospel, that the fact that amid another panicking storm, and we know the other one is when Jesus is asleep in the boat, but this is the one where he comes walking across the water. And in both cases, the apostles are so scared, and they beg him to save them, And it's almost like Jesus is almost surprised that they would be worried. And what unfolds is his way of kind of showing them, really, trust me, don't be afraid. I love these readings. They're great.
I remember a theology class where they talked about the hiddenness of God. That, if God wants everybody to believe in him, why doesn't he sort of write across the sky in, 10-mile high letters, believe? Why does God hide himself from us? And because God reveals himself, I mean, we've got Revelation, we've got the Bible, but it's a book which we can sort of put away or not listen to or write off. And he leaves us free. And sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers either. or at least maybe the answer's no, which is an answer. So but this fact that there are these tiny hints, this whispering sound of the gentle breeze, which suggests Holy Spirit to me and inspiration and the subtlety of God.
For me, it's the literal meaning of these readings, because I was taken back to my childhood where I grew up. We have storms, floods several days of the year, and so we're kind of used to, when there's a storm, there is always flood. And then in 1990, we had a 7.7 magnitude earthquake in the region, which killed thousands of people and also triggered the eruption of Mount Pinatubo.
Right.
And so there was earthquake, fire, and this is really literal for me. And upon reflection, I was looking at how we cope up with it, what happened to us. And I think people in my place develop this resiliency and their deep faith and trust in the Lord. So, because I talk to a lot of my friends these days and our neighbors and people that I knew, they all say the same thing. It's the trust and faith that that develop in them as we navigate through all these disasters in our lives. So, yeah, God spoke to us in a very powerful way.
Yeah. That is powerful, Jalvin, to have that experience. It's not something that I've shared to that extent, but it must be amazing to reflect on it. So for me, it was the figurative idea of what storms are for us at the moment, and maybe it's losing netball or losing football, or certainly not rugby. We're doing all right there. But the things in life that do cause us to question, how will we get through this? Where are we going with this? As what I sort of can see myself constantly really falling into the trap that Jesus catches the apostles out with, this idea of having no faith, when for him it's a simple question of why? Why won't you trust? Why won't you believe? And I just find this a wonderfully sobering reminder to hand it over and to do that trust, to not be afraid. As the situations described here are far worse, as you experienced, Jalvin, in reality, are far worse than the difficulties we might face in life and the way things are today. But we still call to have faith.
And the problem of evil, which people often bring up with regard to God, when there's an earthquake and thousands of people are killed, where is God in that?
Mm.
But you talk about people of faith and their resilience, actually finding God in that.
Yeah, and it brings me to a reflection on the second reading as well, where Paul bears witness to, you know, with the Holy Spirit, and telling the Romans of his experience. And I guess we also have to be living witnesses to our own experience and how the Holy Spirit is moving in us and working in us.
Yeah, fantastic.
And that's the next step of recognizing the Lord. You know, Elijah steps out of the cave. Peter steps out of the boat. When you recognize the presence of the Lord, you then have to act. And you may not get it right. Peter doesn't get it right. He starts sinking. But he reaches out in faith, in hope, in trust, in something. And I'm interested that Elijah veils his face before he steps out of the cave.
Mm. That's right.
And, I just also thought, looking back, I asked the question, were we afraid? You know, when we encountered all these things, were we afraid? Surely we were.
That seems sensible to me. I'd be terrified.
Yes, we were. We were terrified. And but, you know, we rose above that fear. And I think what is more important is how we respond to the fear we had and how we rise above that fear. And we can only do that by trusting the Lord and looking at that still whispering voice, no matter how how small it is, and trying to find a sense of, you know, of these things in our lives.
So faith is an antidote to fear. That it doesn't seem that God is going to remove us from the storms or stop the storms hitting us, but we are called to trust in him that somehow this is God's will. This is taking us somewhere, doing something. And the totally sensible fear we have is taken away somewhat by our trust in God. So these readings are an invitation to trust.
Yeah, they totally are. And this is, if I can make a link, because of it being, you know, last Sunday being World Youth Day, and the fact that Pope Francis met with the, seems like it was 1.5 million people for the Sunday morning mass in Lisbon. And by all accounts, we're seeing in the social media and hearing from some of the young people who are there from New Zealand, I think about 140 from New Zealand are there, that those young people have gathered from everywhere, including some of the worst situations on earth at the moment, you know, the Ukrainians there, and even the Russian young people who must wonder where they are today. They all could gather, and it seems, as usual with a gathering like that, they have been so inspired and so really convinced to go out there and live it, to trust, to go back to their own probably quite mediocre lives after a World Youth Day experience. And Pope Francis was calling them to do that and go and live it, to trust, to really put that into action. So we'll be looking, we're gaining inspiration now, and we'll be looking for more as the young pilgrims return. But that being the big recent development in the church, which is, it is so inspiring, I find.
For Catholics, young Catholics, from New Zealand, which is a place where God is fairly frequently very hidden. It's quite an amazing experience to gather with people of faith from all around the world and discover that their faith is a big deal and is a major force in the world.
And actually, you could see that move too in the way New Zealand managed to give it all of about 10 seconds on the news for one single night. At 1.5 million young people gathered in hope and positivity. But New Zealand doesn't want to know that. It really is the whispering voice of God amidst the storm. So for us who are Catholic and Christian, yeah, we have to look for that inspiration because it won't be necessarily shouted at us.
No. The priorities of media, we'll get a story about a dog or a cute kitten, but 1.5 million young people doing a religious event.
With an old guy.
Yeah. Who's got trouble walking. Yes.
That's right. Yep. Trust.
And Peter going out on the water. Being asked to step out of the boat. That's not something, you know, he's a fisherman. His place is in the boat.
Yeah.
And Jesus calls him to what's the line?
Come. Just Peter that says
come. Actually, Peter takes the initiative, isn't it?
He does.
Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.
Gutsy.
Mad. Peter's extraordinary.
Yeah. It is quite extraordinary.
And I think even if we are in our comfort zone, like Peter, he's definitely used to the water. But in this instance, he tried to walk on water, which is a new territory for him. He must not have walked on the water before, but this is something new to him, and that's why he was terrified when he realized he was starting to sink. And yeah, I guess it also happens to us that even though we are living in our mediocre life as Christian, when something different happens to us, like the storms, we also become fearful and terrified. And we have to look for Jesus or call on Jesus to save us. So yeah, it doesn't have to be an event like walking on water. But in our ordinary lives, we can also, fall and drown. But yeah, we just need to look at Jesus' outstretched hand over there.
It's good.
It's interesting. It's actually Jesus they're afraid of more than the storm.
Yeah, the ghost.
Yeah. They're probably used to storms on the Sea of Galilee. But they're not used to somebody coming walking through the storm.
I'm with them.
Yeah. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. In other words, do not be afraid of me. And O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And then they say, truly, you are the Son of God. So it's somewhat about realizing who and what Jesus is and what Jesus can do.
Yes, indeed.
And as you say, Peter's prayer, Lord, save me. So he recognizes Jesus as Lord and as Savior. I'm sure a good evangelical could do lots of things with that prayer. Okay. Putting it all together, and if you were bringing a sermon into an end on this topic, where would you land? What would you want to send people away with? What's your parting gift from these scriptures to a congregation?
For me, I think it's still where I began as I read these things, that idea of listen for the tiny whispering sound of the Lord amid the tumult. See what is being said quietly. It's likely to be the Lord.
Be still. Be conscious and aware of God's voice or hand stretching out. He is moving in us. He is working in us. We just have to open our eyes to see, open our ears to listen, and open our hearts to understand.
Thank you, Jovine. Thank you, Christopher. I'll give a concluding prayer. Well, I'll steal a concluding prayer from St. Paul. This is his one in the first chapter of the letter to the Ephesians. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Through Christ, our Lord. Amen.